I'm going to share for a few minutes this morning from this thought, the Temptations. No, I'm not going to go Motown on you. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the temptations that we all face in life. I don't know why the Lord prompted me with this, but just a couple of weeks ago, felt really strongly to do this. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 4. We're going to get there in just a moment. But I want to start off with this. Actually, several weeks ago, Pastor Rob shared a message about building a lasting family. And so I want to kind of touch on that. I believe a key to doing that, to building a lasting family, is learning how to avoid temptation and then sharing that information with our kids and with our grandchildren, letting them know the lessons that we've been taught, you know, by the Lord. Things that we've learned in our lives about resisting temptation, overcoming temptation, because everyone is tempted. Everyone that's ever lived on the planet, that's living on it now, or ever will live on the planet, they're going to be tempted. It's just the devil's job. He's out to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. So that's a real key is learning these lessons and then sharing them with our kids and grandkids. I want to begin with the three types of temptation that we see repeatedly in Scripture. Three types of temptation. Now, there's all kinds of temptation, but they fall into three basic categories that we see in Scripture. And I'm going to go old school this morning just for this portion of Scripture. We're going to go King James. Paul, shout out to you back there. 1 John chapter 2. Verses 15 through 17 on the screen for you. And it says this, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We have to search our hearts and how much do we look like the church or how much do we look like the world? Better than that, how much do we look like Jesus and how much do we look like the world? So if the love of the world is in you, then the love of the Father is not. Verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. There's the three categories of sin that, again, many, many different types of sin, but they fall into three basic categories. And I felt like King James says this the best in these phrases. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And then verse 17, the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. As we do, as we obey, as we listen to and walk out the commandments of the Lord, we will abide forever. So I ask you to turn to Luke 4. Let's look there now. It's the temptation of Jesus, obviously. And so I want us to learn some lessons here. Jesus encountered all three of those types of temptation in this portion of Scripture that we're going to look at this morning. So let's go there. Luke 4, verse 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. I like that word, full. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert. He had just been baptized by John in the Jordan River. The Holy Spirit had just descended on him in the form of a dove. The voice from heaven had just spoken, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And so he's after that fullness of the Spirit, that anointing there, and the baptism in the Jordan River. Then he's led by the Spirit into the desert. That's an interesting statement there. A lot of times when we're on the mountaintop spiritually, all of a sudden we go into a desert experience, the highs and the lows of life. But the Lord is with us through all of those things. And so we're going to see that the Lord is with, God is with Jesus as he goes into the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. That's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the flesh. He's hungry. He hasn't eaten for 40 days, and so there's this deep hunger in him. And so that's a desire of the flesh, a lust of the flesh, that he needed some sustenance. And the devil knew that. So the devil comes to him and says, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Tell this stone to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone. That's from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. We're going to see the pattern that Jesus uses, and we know it. If you've been serving the Lord for any length of time, you know that in this temptation, Jesus comes back at the devil with the word every time. And we're going to go a little bit further with that in just a few minutes. One thing I want to touch on is that this area of fasting, and I do believe in fasting, but I do not believe that we should do a 40-day fast unless you're in the presence of God, or you really feel like that God is really strongly leading you to do this. But I really am not a proponent of lengthy fasts. And so you need to be careful if you get into that you guard yourself. Obviously get a doctor's clearance. Also make sure that you're healthy enough to handle a longer fast. But when you see Scripture, the 40 days of fasting, like for Moses and Jesus, and even Elijah, they were either in the presence of God, or Jesus obviously is God. And so it's important that we understand the balance of fasting and prayer. It's certainly scriptural, and we need to do it, but we need to do that fasting in balance. And so it's important that we understand that. So then he goes on. The next step, after the lust of the flesh, the devil, in verse 5, led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. There's the lust of the eyes. The devil says, here, Jesus, is all this stuff I can give you. All this stuff. He showed him. He saw it with his eyes. And he said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, the devil says, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will all be yours. And you notice that Jesus doesn't contradict him. Jesus doesn't say you don't have that authority to do that. Because we see that as people sell out to the enemy, that they do rise to levels of prosperity or fame or all these different things that the enemy can give to those that follow him. We being from New Orleans, we've seen the power of the satanic church there, casting spells, doing all kind of stuff like that. But then we also see that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Amen. There was a couple that we took on a tour of New Orleans when we were on staff at our home church. And part of our job was to take visiting guest speakers on a tour of the city. And so we would take them down to the French Quarter for coffee and donuts at Café Du Monde, maybe get them a muffalata at the Central Grocery, stuff like that. And we're walking through Jackson Square, and as we're going around the statue there, my wife and I and this couple that was visiting, and a person starts walking towards us, and then he stops dead in his tracks, and he gives us the satanic triangle symbol. And as he does that, he backs away from us. He just goes backing away, and he goes around the statue the other direction. It was such a faith builder to see that the spirit of the devil in that person saw the Spirit of God in us and chose to go a different route. It was really cool to see that. And so I understand the power of the enemy, but I know that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And so he didn't cave to the lust of the flesh. He didn't cave to the lust of the eyes or the lust of the flesh. And Jesus answers that second one. It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And again, that is from Deuteronomy as well, chapter 6, verse 13. So the devil led him to Jerusalem. Here comes number 3. The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, notice that's the second time the devil uses that phrase on him. If you are the Son of God, even trying to put a doubt in his mind whether God is going to do this certain thing for you. And here it is. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, from this highest point, for it is written. Now, the devil is taking a page out of Jesus' notebook here, and he's using the word against Jesus, and he's quoting from Psalm 91. He says, it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Against a stone. And so there is the pride of life. If you're the Son of God, if you're really this God-man that you claim to be, or even the Son of Man that you speak of yourself, he says, just throw yourself down, because they'll catch you. You won't fall. You won't be hurt, according to the scripture. It's written. But Jesus answered, it says, scripture says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the third quote by Jesus from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verse 16. And so when the devil had finished all the tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Matthew 4 and one of the other gospels says also in addition to this that angels came and attended him or ministered to him after this temptation took place. And so then Jesus returns to Galilee once again in the power of the Spirit. He went into the desert. He went into the time of temptation under the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And after the temptation, 40 days, again, without food, without nourishment, he leaves and he returns to Galilee in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we know it's not our might, it's not our power, but it's his Spirit. Amen? And so those three areas that are so important that we are on guard for, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Billy Graham writes this, it's not a sin to be tempted. We need to understand that. For everyone is tempted. The devil tempts, but he can only tempt you only so far as God permits. And God always provides a way of escape. The sin is in yielding to the temptation instead of seeking God's power to escape. He continues with this. When you face temptation, follow Jesus' example. Do what Jesus did. Jesus didn't argue with Satan. He didn't debate with him. He didn't rationalize. Instead, he replied, it is written, it is written, it is written. Jesus responded to the enemy's temptation with the simple but strong truth of God's word. Amen? And we need to do the same. When the enemy comes against us and attacks us with a time of temptation or just a moment of temptation, we need to take authority right there. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against our knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought and make it obedient unto Christ. We nip the temptation in the bud right there by doing that and quoting the word just as Jesus did. Then we find this in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18. Because he, Jesus himself, suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those of us who are being tempted. Whenever the tempter comes our way, whenever that temptation comes at us, and normally in all my years of ministry, I've seen over the years that as I talk with people about temptation, normally the enemy of our soul is going to attack in one or two, maybe three areas of our lives, but one or two specifically that he just keeps hammering and hammering and hammering away at. And we need to realize that. He knows our weaknesses. But God also knows them as well, and he's there to give us strength in time of weakness. In fact, Paul said, out of weakness, you make us strong. When I am weak, then am I strong because of you. So we need to understand that when Jesus suffered and when he was tempted, he's able to help us who are being tempted. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, let's pick up there. It adds this. And the writer says, therefore, since we have a great high priest, Jesus, who has gone through the heavens or has gone into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet He was without sin. And there's the caveat. Jesus is the only one that walked this planet in the flesh. We know he was the God-man, fully God, fully man. But we also know that as man, he did not cave in to any of those temptations of the enemy. And so, but he's able to sympathize with us because he's gone through every temptation that you and I will ever face and more. And so he knows what we can take. We have one who has been tempted in every way, and yet he was without sin. He is the sinless Lamb of God that was slain from the foundation of the world. That's why he and he alone is the propitiation for our sins, the one that can take away all sin because he lived the sinless life when he was here in the flesh. Verse 16, so because of all of this, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence. Man, I love that. It's not our performance, but it's the performance of Jesus. Because of all that he has done, all that he has overcome, now it gives us entrance to come boldly before this throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need, in our time of temptation, in our time of struggle. We're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Amen? Praise God. We see in Genesis chapter 3 that Adam and Eve caved to temptation. We know the story, you know, the serpent, the devil, posing as that talking snake, comes and convinces her over a little dialogue there to taste this. This is good. You're not going to really die. You're not going to die. And that was a half-truth. They didn't die physically at that point, but death would come later because of that. But they didn't drop dead, but they thought they would. And so he said, see, I told you. So they caved. Then in Judges 16, Samson does the same thing. He caves to temptation. And his area was the area of lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes, all of that stuff that he caved to. And then in 2 Samuel chapter 11, David does the same exact thing. He caves to temptation as well. The Daily Walk, one of my devotionals, writes this. David's reign was marked by material wealth, military success, social prestige, and even the promise of future prosperity. So from all outward appearances, things couldn't have been better. The nation of Israel was at the zenith of its power to that point. But in David's heart, a steady erosion was taking place in his ability to withstand temptation. A spiritual slide away from God, prompted by an undisciplined life of passion, polygamy, and the pleasures of life, idle pleasure. When the moment of temptation came, David had no power to resist. And obviously the rest is history. He sinned against God. He claimed that. He said, Lord, against you, you only have I sinned. But his sin didn't just hurt him. It didn't just hurt the heart of God, but it also caused a woman's husband. I'll get it out in a minute. He had her husband murdered, and other men were killed along with that plot for that husband to die. And so all of that stuff, David would have never dreamed that where all that began, where it would end up. And that's how the enemy is, and that's how if we succumb to sin, if we succumb to the temptation, there's always going to be a price to pay for that. God is a forgiving God, yes. David was forgiven. He's in the Hebrews Hall of Fame of Faith, all that stuff. But there was a price to pay, and he paid a severe price for that. While idling in the palace, instead of fighting on the battlefield, David yielded to temptation and committed adultery with Bathsheba. And all those other events began to take place. The Daily Walk asked this question of you and me. So where is erosion taking place in our spiritual life? Where is that erosion taking place in us? Where is the enemy of your soul attacking you? Where is he just pounding away at some area of your life? So some thought, some train of thought some action, some whatever that he's trying to get you to cave to. What is it and where is it? And then where are you setting yourself up for future heartache by ignoring the danger signs in the present? We can stay alert and be aware of what's going on in the present so that we don't have to deal with some of the stuff in the future that David had to deal with by caving into that temptation and it becoming sin. Because before it's ever an action, it's always a thought. This is where it begins. Before there's ever sin that takes place, it's a thought. And you and I can choose to cast down those imaginations, or we can let our minds just run with those thoughts. It's our choice. But also choice, not chance, determines our destiny, right? And so we need to be very careful about the choices that we make. And we need to ask the Lord's help and the power of the Holy Spirit as Jesus had on his life. We need to have that same power working in our lives to overcome the temptations of life. James writes this in chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. He says, when tempted, underline that word when, not if you're going to be tempted, because you're going to be. Everybody is. But when you're tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he's dragged away and enticed. Like those words, dragged away. The devil just wants to drag you away from God. He wants to drag you from your relationship with the Lord. He wants to drag you into the pit. That's why David wrote one time, he said, you lifted me out of the pit, out of the miry clay, and you set my feet on a rock. And that rock is Christ Jesus. He's that foundation of our faith. And so we need to understand what the enemy's goal is. Someone once said, the number of times the average person says no to temptation is once weekly. W-E-A-K-L-Y, right? That's about the average for a lot of Americans today is doing it that way. Max Lucado adds this. He says, God uses Satan's temptation to strengthen us. Times of testing are actually times of training, purification, and strength building. You can even consider it pure joy, James writes, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. God wants us to persevere in our faith. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. As we just continue, you fall down, you get back up. My grandfather taught me years ago on the farm in Alabama. He said, basically, when you get on that horse, if he throws you off, all you do is you get back on one more time, then he throws you. And you just, that's how life is. You just get up one more time, then you fall down, right? Just keep doing that till Jesus comes. And so we know that the testing of our faith, the trials that we are allowed to go through, it builds character, it builds perseverance, it builds endurance in each of us as believers. The Daily Walk writes again, becoming a Christian doesn't mark the end of your battle with sin and temptation. In many ways, it marks the beginning of our battle in those areas. You know, think about it. Before you came to the Lord, how many times did the devil tell you, you're not saved? I don't think the devil ever told me that before I came to the Lord. Never had that thought in my mind. When the devil's got you, he's got you. He's not worried. But when you come to Christ, then he starts beating up on you, trying to get you to sin, trying to get you to cave to temptation, try to get you to go in your mind where you know you shouldn't go. All these different things. So it marks the beginning of Satan's attacks against us. Every believer in Jesus is part of the target for the devil. Just picture the whole world as a target. And those of us that know Christ, we're the target of the devil's attacks. All those in the world that he's already got, he's not working on them too much because he's already got them under his control. They've already caved. But you and I and other believers worldwide, we're doing our best to serve God. We're doing our best to live for God, to please God. We're wanting to be a light. We want to make a difference. We want to be used of the Lord in this world. And that's why we're under attack. That's why the enemy comes after us. But again, the word says, draw nigh to me, and I'll draw nigh to you. Amen? Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. The devil will flee at the name of Jesus. Use the name of Jesus. Use the word of God, and let the Lord do the work. The Daily Walk continues with this. As a Christian, we still have a fallen nature that seeks to express itself in our daily actions. But we also have a personal will that desires to direct our life. Both of those things need to come under the lordship of Jesus. Both of those things, the fallen nature and also the desires of our hearts, God needs to take control of both of those things. Those need to come under the lordship of Christ. In Matthew 6, verse 13, as part of the Lord's Prayer, Jesus instructs us to pray this, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And then in Matthew 26, 41, Jesus cautioned his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, those are areas of potential weakness that the enemy will attack us in. But Jesus says, if you just stay with me for a little bit here, watch and pray with me so that you won't fall into temptation, so that you don't cave to that temptation. Your spirit, the Holy Spirit within you, he's working on you. The Spirit is willing to strengthen and help you if you will allow him to. But the flesh is weak. But again, out of weakness comes the Lord's strength in our lives. And then finally this morning, we close with this. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 10:13, and we alluded to it a little bit earlier, but here it is in its entirety. And Paul writes, no temptation has seized you. That word seized always jumps out at me. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. People all over the world have gone through all the temptations that you and I go through. Every temptation you've ever been through or ever will go through, you're not the Lone Ranger. Somebody else has already been there. You know, they've already been there. They've already battled it. So it's common to man. And God is faithful. There's the great news. God is faithful. He will not allow you, won't let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. God knows the point that he's gonna block there if we'll allow him to do it. He knows what you can bear, but when you are tempted, there's that word when again, when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out, a way of escape, so that you can stand up under it. God is so faithful to be there in times of temptation. God's always faithful to hear our cry. He said, call unto me, I'll answer you. I'll show you great and mighty things that you know nothing about. He said, I'll be with you always. I'll never leave you, never forsake you. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, lives inside of every believer. And he says, I'll never stop loving you. I'll never stop being with you and for you. God is always for us, never against us. And so when we look to him, we can be delivered from every temptation. But the thing is, we've got to take that way of escape. When God provides that moment in time or that access to an escape route, we need to take it. It's like Yogi Berra said years ago, when you come to a fork in the road, take it. Well, we got to take it. When God gives you that opportunity of escape, you got to take that route. You got to take that opportunity because he knows exactly what your breaking point is. And the word says he won't give you anything more than you can bear, but he'll give you a way out. He'll give you a way out. Let's pray. Father, this morning, I just ask you, Lord, to touch us right where we are. Lord, those of us that know you and that have served you any amount of time, Lord, we've all fallen, Lord, into areas of temptation. Lord, there's times that we're strong and we fight it off, and There may have been other times when we were weaker, and maybe we caved like others in Scripture that we read about. But Lord, no matter what, no matter where we find ourselves this morning, those here in this house, those online, Lord, I pray that you would touch each one of us at our point of need this morning. Lord, nobody is exempt from temptation. We understand that. The word says that all have sinned and fallen short of your glory. There's none righteous, no, not one. And so, Lord, one day each of us that know you came to a place where we had to receive you as our Savior. And Lord, I pray that you draw people to that place this morning. Lord, I pray that you would just come into every heart, come into every life for those that don't know you today. God, forgive of sin, cleanse from all unrighteousness. For you said if we confess our sin, you'd be faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. And so, God, do that this morning in every hungry heart. You said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You said, seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you automatically. And so, Father, let those that need you this morning call unto you. And, Lord, you said that you would hear and that you would answer prayer. And so, God, do that. Lord, forgive and cleanse, renew and restore and forgive. And, Lord, for those of us that do know you, Lord, help us, Lord, in those areas of temptation when the enemy comes against us. And for everyone, Lord, that is under that attack, maybe even this morning, God, just give them strength, Lord, for the moment. Give them strength, Lord, in that hour of weakness, in that time of distress. And just as, Lord, the Holy Spirit led you into the desert to be tempted, but you went there full of the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So go with us, Lord. Go with us. Let us be victorious over every temptation. Guard us and guide us and direct us. Lord, empty us, Lord, of anything that would displease you, and give us the strength, the ability, the power, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit to come forth victorious. Oh, Lord, you provide that way out. You provide that way of escape. And so, Lord, this morning, Lord, again, we ask the question, where are you being tempted? What area of your life is under attack right now? And Father, strengthen, Lord, each one in this room today. Lord, no matter what temptation may have already come, no matter what is coming right now against anyone, and no matter what may come tomorrow, the days ahead, Lord, we have a strength in you. We have an authority, Lord, with you and for you and from you. And so, God, let us stand. You said in your word, after having done all that you know to do, simply stand. Stand still and see the deliverance that the Lord will bring you today. Stand still and see the victory that the Lord wants to give you today. For the battle is not yours, but it's the Lord's. And greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And Father, you promise no good thing would you withhold from them that walk uprightly. And so, Father, by the power of the Holy Spirit, may each one of us walk uprightly before you, so that there will be no reason for you to withhold any good thing from us. Father, remove the barriers that would hinder our prayers. God, break down those walls. Oh, Father, search us, oh God. Know our hearts. Try us. Know our thoughts. See if there would be any wicked way in us, and lead us in the way everlasting. Let the words of our mouth, the meditation of our heart, be acceptable in your sight, oh Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And then, Lord, create in each one of us a clean heart, a pure heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within us. Don't take your Holy Spirit from us, but deliver us and keep us from the evil that's all around us. Father, we pray all of this in the mighty and in the awesome name of Jesus. And we give you praise and we give you glory in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen, amen. God bless you guys. We love you so much.